Church, we know that our theme for this year is building on the vision. Building on the vision. Our theme is our blueprint for moving forward in dark, unstable, and troubling times. That word build means to frame, to construct, or erect on a foundation. It means to frame, to construct, or erect on a foundation. It means to establish, increase, or strengthen. That word vision means divine communication that gives sight. Vision is divine communication that gives sight. It is the revealed will of God. So when we say that we are going to build on the vision, that means that we are going to establish, elevate, and strengthen our lives by conforming to God's will for us as a church. What is our vision? What is God's will for us as a church? We know that our vision is to be a church patterned after the church at Philippi. We are to be a people that loves God, hates sin, and loves to give. Our theme scripture is Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. We know in this scripture that Paul is exhorting the church at Philippi while imprisoned in Rome. And as he exhorts them, he reflects on his own life. And Paul admits that he has not yet accomplished all that he desired in his Christian walk, but that he was striving to lay hold of the spiritual prize because Jesus Christ had first laid hold of him. And in verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." We know that this scripture is both our attitude and our approach to this year's theme. In these dark and troubling times, we must build on the vision. We must conform our lives to God's will and endeavor with all that is in us to love God, hate sin, and love to give. That means, church, we must forget those things that are behind. Turn away from our former life. Turn away from old, dead habits and hobbies. Turn away from our past pursuits, past failures, disappointments, fears, and anxieties. We must forget those things that are behind us, and we must reach for what is before us. What is before us? It is the will of God. We must make every effort to learn what it means to love God, hate sin, and love to give. And then we must press. Church, we must press toward the mark. We must have an urgency to obey. We must have an urgency to establish a relationship with the things that we are learning. In other words, we must do what we are taught and do it immediately so that we can manifest or make the vision clear and visible to the world. Church, when we build on the vision, God will establish, elevate, and strengthen our lives. And he will strengthen, refresh, and revive our church. But before we build on the vision, we said that in our first series of the year, we wanted to understand the significance of our vision. Church, we are in part 6 of our series, Our Vision. Our Vision. The intent of this series is I want to teach us the significance of our vision. I want to teach us the significance of our vision. The purpose of this series is that we understand why we must build on our vision. We want to know why we must build on our vision. We have 7 objectives in this series. I want to teach us our vision's origin and our vision's purpose. I want to teach us our vision's power and our vision's benefit. I want to teach us our vision's relevance and its adequacy. And in our seventh objective, I want to teach us our vision's effect. So we're going to learn and have been learning our vision's origin, its purpose, its power, its benefit, its relevance, its adequacy, and its effect. The goal of this series is that we commit to the work. Church, at the end of this series, I want us to be fully committed to build on the vision. So what have we learned thus far? In our first objective, we learned our vision's origin. We said that our vision comes from God. It is divine communication. God's communicated will for us. It is extracted from the Word of God, and it summarizes our doctrine. And church, it summarizes our doctrine in a way that we can easily understand and recall to mind. That means that our vision does not replace our doctrine. It guides us to it. Our vision comes from God. That means we must respect it. We must regard it, and we must respond to it. From there, we went into our second objective and learned our vision's purpose. Church, our vision, God's communicated will to us, has been communicated so that we might have sight. That's why God communicates to us, so that we might have sight. That is spiritual sight, so that we might know how to live and how to have success. Church, if only we understood that God communicates his will to us because he loves us, then we would respect God's word. If only we would listen when God spoke. If we gave our ear to his word, to his will, and his instructions. If only we followed Jesus Christ, then God would give us the directions and the answers that we need in our lives. Church, if only we obeyed, if only we obeyed God, loved God, hated sin, and loved to give, then we would experience the blessings of righteousness, and it would be well with us and with our children. From there, we went to our third objective, our vision's power. Our vision's power. Church, our vision has the power to restrain us. Our vision establishes what we can and cannot do. It keeps our lives from spiraling out of control. Our vision confines us to a righteous course of life. But when divine communication is absent, that is when we don't listen to God, we become unrestrained and we are made ashamed. Church, for our vision to restrain us, we must be ready to hear the truth. We have to be ready to hear the truth, and we cannot be offended when God speaks to our heart. Then we must be ready to set aside excuses. Excuses waste time and leave us in an unchanged condition when Jesus has done everything necessary so that we might change. So we must set aside excuses. Then we must endure instruction. Church, we have to be ready to endure instruction. Do whatever God instructs us to do, no matter what. See, this year, God is going to instruct us to do some things that we find difficult. When we learn what it really means to love God, when we learn what it means to really hate sin, and when we learn what it means to give of ourselves and love to give of ourselves, God is going to ask us, require us to do some things that are uncomfortable, but we must endure his instructions. Do what he says, no matter what. In our fourth objective, we learn our vision's benefit. Church, our vision produces a blessed life. When we conform our lives to the vision, it will produce a blessed life. We said to be blessed is to have God's approval rest upon our life. To be blessed is to receive the favor of God or the grace of God that we need to live good, do well, and live good. To be blessed is to do well, is to flourish, to blossom, and to be fruitful. Then to be blessed is to experience gladness as a result of our well-being. And church, to be blessed is to have internal peace and satisfaction. It is to be fulfilled on the inside. That's what it means to be blessed. It's not about money. It's not about material. We can be blessed, and this is the life that we can have if we love God, hate sin, and love to give. Church, that means that we cannot walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We cannot live by the advice of those who are unsettled. We cannot be counseled by those who follow no rules. We cannot be counseled by those who are governed by their uncontrolled passions. We cannot walk in the counsel of the ungodly, and we cannot stand in the way of sinners. That is, we cannot pattern our life after people who are openly living wrong. Cannot imitate the life of a sinner and expect God to bless me. Then, church, we cannot sit in the seat of the scorner. We said that a scorner is the worst kind of sinner. Scorner is someone who mocks God and blasphemes Jesus. We cannot have fellowship, church, with a scorner. And that took us to our last objective, the objective we covered 2 weeks ago, our vision's relevance. Church, our vision is relevant. That is, it is important to our life. Our vision has a direct bearing on the outcome of our life. It is directly related to our success and our well-being. So we said, church, that we must stop searching and researching for other answers. And we must start applying the Word of God to our life. That means we must trust God. Be confident that God knows what we need to be lifted up out of our lowly places and carried to a place of victory. We must trust God. Then we must quit foolishness. That is, we must give up being in the category of fools. Remember what we learned? That we have to turn away. We cannot be like those who turn from God's counsel and turn to the wisdom of the world. We have to give up being in that category. And finally, we must get focused. We must go straight on. That is, stop being distracted. We have to follow the course that will lead to insight and understanding. Church, that brings us up to today's objective, our sixth objective, our vision's adequacy. Our vision's adequacy. The subtitle of today's message is Therein is Life. Therein is life. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Church, our vision is adequate. Now, adequate can have a negative connotation, but we're not talking about it in its negative connotation. Adequate for the purposes of today's message is sufficient. It means equal to the challenge. Adequate means fully able to meet a need. It means enough. Adequate, it is sufficient. Equal to the challenge. Fully able to meet a need. It is enough. Church, not only is our vision relevant, it is adequate. See, in our last objective, we learned that our vision has a direct bearing on the outcome of our life, that it is directly related to our success and well-being. It is relevant. But church, our vision is also adequate. That means it is enough all by itself. It is enough to establish us, everything we need. It is enough to elevate us, everything that we need. It is enough to strengthen us, everything that we need. It is enough. It is enough to guide us in the way that we should go. It is enough to sustain us in times of hardship. It is enough to restore us when we go astray. Church, our vision is enough. And no matter what challenges arise in our life, our vision is equal to the challenge. In other words, there is no area of my life that our vision cannot sufficiently address. No area. No area in my life that's lacking, that cannot be addressed by the vision. There's no problem in my life that the vision cannot help me overcome. You might say, well, you don't understand the problems that I have. Doesn't matter what the problem is. But the instructions that we will receive in our vision, it is enough. See, all the transformation that I need can take place in my life if I simply learn how to love God. All the transformation that I need can take place in my life if I simply learn how to hate sin. All the transformation that I need in my life can take place if I simply learn how to love, to give of myself. Within the vision is the answer to everything we need to establish, elevate, and strengthen our lives. Church, we have to understand this. See, when I learn how to love God, hate sin, and love to give, I will obtain wisdom for my life. If you love God, if you hate sin and love to give, you will receive wisdom for your life. Be able to make good decisions, sound judgment, have good sense. When I learn how to love God, hate sin, and love to give, I will live a more productive life. Even if my life is productive right now, my life will be more productive if I learn how to love God, hate sin, love to give. If I learn how to love God, hate sin, love to give, I will be a wise steward over the things that I have. My material, my finances, my life. I'll become a wise steward. When I learn how to love God, hate sin, and love to give, I will be able to strengthen the areas of weakness in my life. Do any of us have weaknesses? Areas that we want to strengthen? We can strengthen them by learning how to love God, hate sin, and loving to give. See, when I learn how to love God, hate sin, and love to give, I can overcome addiction and bondage. The key to overcoming is to love God, is to hate sin, is to give of myself. When I learn how to love God, hate sin, and love to give, I can find release. Release from those emotional things that have been tormenting me. Release from anger, bitterness, resentment, and regret. Release from depression, worry, fear, and anxiety. I can find release. When I learn how to love God, hate sin, and love to give, I can rebuild my character if my character is wounded. See, I can do whatever I need through the vision. I can overcome loneliness. I can press through trials and tribulations. I can find peace, joy, contentment, even in adversity. Our vision can address every area of my life. But here is the caveat. I must learn it and live it. That's how it addresses my life. I have to learn it and live it. Can't just learn it. I have to live it. I can't live what I think I know. I have to learn it. I have to learn it and live it. That's why we must have the proper attitude and approach to this year's theme. That's why it is so important for us to forget those things that are behind us. Because we have been learning that we have been engaged in some vain things, some empty things, some meaningless things. And I've got to let those things go. I have to forget those things that are behind us. That's why I have to reach for what is before me. I have to make every effort to understand this theme and understand our vision. That's why I have to press. Because if I am going to improve my life, in any area of my life, I have to learn God's instructions and then I have to live them. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13. Proverbs 4, verse 13. Now, I quoted this scripture a couple of weeks ago, but we're going to look at it again. Proverbs 4:13 simply says, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. What is that scripture saying? It is saying, be strong and courageously seize instruction. Be strong. Don't be weak. Be strong and courageously seize, hold on to, and keep instruction. Don't become slack, relaxed, or discouraged, and don't let it go. Keep it in your mind and in your actions, because it is your life. It brings life to you. That's what this scripture is saying. Be strong and courageously seize, hold, and keep instruction. Don't become slack, relaxed, or discouraged. That's what happens to us. We become slack in the things of God, relaxed in the things of God, discouraged in the things of God. He says, don't become slack, relax or discourage and let it go. Keep it in your mind. Keep it in your actions because it, instruction, is your life. Instruction, church, brings life. That's what we must do to be blessed. That's what this whole series has been teaching us. That if we want to live a blessed life, even if we feel we have a good life, but we want to elevate our life, then we have to lay hold to instruction. We have to hold it, learn it, and live it, because that is how we are blessed. We have to get this on the inside of us. See, I know that we are religious. We're very religious. We come to church sometimes. We stream sometimes. We have our music. We listen to our gospel. We listen to our inspiration. We have all of our Christian books. We don't ever open up the Bible, but we have every Christian book imaginable. See, I know that we are religious. We excel in religion. And yet, as Christians, we are conforming to things that have nothing to do with what God has said. We are conforming to things that have nothing to do with what God has spoken to us. In fact, we are conforming ourselves to things that are contrary to the very word of God. And while we are doing that, we don't seem to understand what's wrong. Can't seem to figure out what's wrong with our life. Child, I don't know what's wrong. I don't know what's going on. What's wrong is we are religious. And being religious will not cause us to be blessed. Church, being religious will not cause us to be blessed. Being religious will not lead to a blessed life. I have to take hold of and live by God's instructions, because therein is life. And there's life in nothing else but God's instructions. There's life in nothing else but God's instructions. Therein is life. So understanding this, learning this through this series, we must come to a point of decision. Church, this is the time to let some things go. It's just time to let some things go. We are holding on to a lot of things that don't bring us life. Time to let go of our stubborn opinions. You may have held that opinion all of your life, but it's wrong. It is contrary to the word of God. It is time for us to let go of our stubborn opinions. Church, it's time for us to let go of our witchcraft. Yes, you heard me, witchcraft. Well, what are you talking about, Pastor? I don't practice witchcraft. Yes, we do as Christians, practicing witchcraft. All of this name it and claim it stuff, speaking stuff into the atmosphere, saying what I want to have and I'm going to say it and then I'm going to have it. That's just witchcraft. That is not the word of God. Got to let this stuff go. You can't speak things into the atmosphere. Do you know how dangerous it would be if Christians could speak things into the atmosphere? It would be a holy mess. Got to let that stuff go. We have to let go of things that are vile and corrupt. Let go of your horoscope. Let go of these things. We have to let go. Let go of conspiracy theories. We are living in the age of conspiracy theory. Everybody has a conspiracy theory. And we are building and forming and shaping our life on this nonsense. We have to let that stuff go. We have to let go of made-up internet stories. Let go of godless chatter. Let go of what you heard. Let go of today's popular socio-political ideologies. What the world is saying and what the world is saying we ought to believe and how you ought to act and how you should think and feel as a person, as a woman, as a man, as a person of color, as a black person, as a white person. We got to let all of this nonsense go. Let go of all this stuff that we're reading in our self-help books. We have piles and piles of self-help books because we don't go to the book. And we don't believe that in the book is the help that I need. We have to let this stuff go. We have to let go of what they say. We're always talking about, well, you know, they say that. Who is they? We got to let all of this stuff go. All of this garbage that is piling up in our life and is warping our mind. We are being warped and it's causing us to be scattered, messy, and downright nonsensical. You talk to some Christians now and it just is nonsense. You can't even understand what they're saying. Christians talking about aliens. Christians talking about New Age stuff. Christians We are being warped by this stuff, this garbage that is shaping our life, and our life is messy, and our lives are deteriorating more and more and more each day. We have to go back to God's instructions. Go back to God's original instructions. Grab hold of them. They are simple. They are straightforward, and they are profound, because in them, therein lies life. There's life in God's instructions to us, church. Got to take hold of them. It's time for us to make a decision. As this series is winding down, we have to decide. Because if we don't, we will go through the whole year being entertained by a theme, and it will not help us in our life one bit. Because we will learn what we need to learn to improve our life, and we will go right out and embrace things that are destroying us. It's time to make a decision. Let all this stuff go. Church, take hold of the vision. That brings us to our points for this morning. Take hold of the vision and be, point number one, confident. Take hold of the vision and be confident. Church, be confident. Proverbs 4:13 says, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. In other words, be strong and courageously seize, hold, keep instruction. Seize, hold, and keep instruction. Seize, hold, and keep instruction. That requires confidence. Church, it takes confidence to let everything else go and hold on to God's instructions. That takes confidence. It takes confidence to ignore other people's thoughts and opinions and live by the Word of God. It takes confidence to tune out people's ridicule and their mocking. It takes confidence. It takes confidence to turn away from endless flows of speculation and information. It takes confidence to not turn on that computer and click a button to find some answers for your life. It takes confidence to do that. It takes confidence to seize, hold, and keep doctrine. Church, it takes confidence to turn away from our own secular trainings and indoctrination. The things they tell us at work, the way you should think, the way you should believe, it takes confidence to turn away from that. And church, it takes confidence to silence the questioning in our own mind. Because your mind will start to question. God, is this really going to work? God, is this really the answer? God, I just don't really see it. It takes confidence to say silence. You will do what God says to do. There will be no debate. Takes confidence to do that. If we take hold of the vision, we have to be confident that it is enough. Got to be sure. Got to believe it. Because if we are not confident, we will be drawn away. We'll be drawn away by what's going on the inside. By what's going on the outside. Okay, Pastor, well, how can I have this confidence that God's instructions are enough? Well, it's really very simple. We can be confident in our vision because our vision came from God. We can be confident in our vision because our vision came from God, and none of this other stuff has. None of this other stuff that we are conforming to, shaping our life around, none of it comes from God. None of it. But our vision, it comes from God. You know, God, the one we learned about, sovereign God, he is in absolute and complete control. not subject to anyone or anything. Therefore, he is able to do whatever he says he will do. He is able to keep all of his promises to you. That God, the sovereign God, you know, the holy God. God that we learned was holy, that he was perfect, that he was pure, that he does not make a mistake and he does us no wrong. That's the God I'm talking about. We remember he is the gracious God. The God who loves us. The God who delights to bless us. That is the God who gave us our vision. He is our sovereign God, our holy God, our gracious God. Remember, he is our God. He's my God and your God. That is, I have a personal relationship with him. He is the God who snatched me out of the jaws of hell. He is the one who sent his only begotten son wrapped up in flesh to come into the earth to take my place, to take the punishment that was due me on the cross. He was the God who sent his son to die for me so that my sins could be forgiven, so that I could receive the indwelling presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the same God who has established a relationship with me where I can talk to him and he can talk to me. I can go boldly to the throne of grace and see grace and mercy in a time of need. I can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, seek him in prayer, and he has promised to not cease doing good to me in my life. This is my God. Sovereign, holy, gracious, he's our God. Our vision came from him. Our vision came from him, church, so it seems rather foolish to neglect his instructions and to chase after things that are made up and frivolous. So that means that I'm going to hold on to what God says and be confident that what God says is enough for my life, even if I don't understand it all in the moment. Whatever he tells me, God, it's enough. Whatever he tells me, God, I agree. Whatever he tells me, God, you're right. This is all I can handle right now. I have to be confident that what God says is enough to make my life good. Church, take hold of the vision and be confident. Take hold of the vision and be, point number two, courageous. Take hold of the vision and be courageous. The scripture says, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. In other words, be strong and courageously seize, hold, and keep instruction. Do not become slack, relaxed, or discouraged, and let it go. Don't become slack. Don't become relaxed. Don't become discouraged. Don't let it go. Church, that takes courage. Takes courage to hold on to God's instructions. It takes courage to hold on to God's instructions because of all the difficulties that we will face in our life. See, when we determine that we are going to live by God's instructions, we are going to face difficulty. We're going to face isolation, people who turn away from us. We're going to face resistance, people who push back and try to pull us off of our righteous course of action. We're going to face contempt, people who will mock us, lie on us, mistreat us, because we are simply trying to obey God. We will face opposition and persecution. We will face all of these different things. And church, we will face disappointment. There are going to be times where things don't turn out the way we thought they would. Things don't unfold the way we thought they would unfold. We will be disappointed. So we must be courageous. We cannot, through difficulties and pain, become slack, relaxed, and discouraged. We must bravely confront the pain that we must face. Keep holding on. We have to be courageous. And church, we can be courageous because we have hope. We can be courageous because we have hope. Church, hope produces courage. Hope produces courage. When we have a happy anticipation of future good, we can bravely endure the pain that we are going through. Hope produces courage. And church, we can courageously hold to God's instructions because in them there is hope. What is the hope? We know that our vision will produce good, that it will produce a blessed life. That is the hope. That's the hope of our vision. So when we know that we have this hope, we can have courage. When I love God, when I hate sin, when I love to give, I know I'm going to have a blessed life. I know God's going to bless my life. I know God is going to strengthen my life. I know that God is going to elevate my life. I know that God is going to give me peace. I know that God is going to restore my joy. I know that God is going to cause me to be fruitful. I know that I'm going to have victory over this difficult situation. I have hope. So then I can persevere. I can be courageous. Church, take hold of the vision and be confident. Take hold of the vision and be courageous. Take hold of the vision and be, point number three, committed. Take hold of the vision and be committed. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Be strong and courageously seize, hold, and keep instruction. Don't become slack, relaxed, or discouraged, and let it go. Keep it in your mind and in your actions. That's commitment. Keep it, keep it, keep it in your mind and your actions. That's commitment. If we're going to lay hold to the vision so that we might have a blessed life, we must be committed. That means we cannot abandon God's instructions. We must obey them to the very end. We must be committed through every hardship, through every frustration. We must be committed through calamity. We must be committed through tragedy. We must be committed through assaults on our life. We must be committed to the very end. Through it all, we must keep God's instructions in our mind and in our actions. We have to purpose in our heart, church, that we're going to be committed to this. Because we're going to go through. We're going to have difficulties. But the good that will come in our life comes if we are committed. Why should I remain committed? Well, because of the last part of the verse. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Church, we can remain committed to our vision because the vision will not fail. We can remain committed to our vision because our vision will not fail. God's instructions bring life. His instructions bring life. No matter what my life is like right now, no matter what problems I'm facing, no matter what addictions I have, no matter what issues I'm struggling with, no matter the sorrow, the depression, the anxiety, no matter what is going on in my life, God's instructions bring life. The vision does not, cannot, and will not fail. So because we know that, we can be committed, stay with it to the end. Church, if we keep God's instructions and we remain committed, we will see the fruit of obedience springing up in our life. We will see good things happen in our life. It might take some time. It might take some time. See, if I have messed over my life for decades, it might take some time for the fruit to spring up, but I have to be committed. Because if I am committed, the fruit will come. Church, we have to understand just how important our vision is. Our vision is enough. It can address every area of my life, but only if I learn it and live it. Church, take hold of God's instructions. Therein is life. Take hold and be confident. Take hold and be courageous. Take hold and be committed and see what God will do with your life. Watch what He does in your life and with your life. But church, I don't want us to misunderstand this message as we bring it to a close. I don't want us to look at this message as a works-based message. I don't want us to think that we can work our way to wholeness, that through our own human efforts, we can be made whole. That's not what this message is about. We cannot forget that we are able to take hold of the vision because Jesus first took hold of us. That we are able to take hold of God's instructions because Jesus grabbed us. He apprehended us. Jesus shed His blood for us. Jesus died for us. Jesus cleansed us from our sins. Jesus rose in victory over death. He ascended into heaven and sent back the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Ghost apprehended us and filled us with His presence. And now we have the desire and the ability to hear God, to receive His instructions and do what He says. It is because the Holy Ghost is working down on the inside of us. And now we are able to take what God says and apply it to our life so that our life can be lifted up out of the pit that it's in, lifted up out of the dark place that it's in, lifted up by what God is doing in us and through us. It is because of Jesus. He came so that we might have abundant life. So now the choice is ours. We have the ability. But we have to make the choice. Church, we must build on the vision. Our vision is divine communication that gives sight. It comes from God. It is extracted from the Word of God. It reveals the will of God. It guides us to our doctrine and gives us spiritual sight for our success. Our vision will restrain us, but we must be ready to hear the truth, set aside excuses, and endure instruction. Our vision will bless us if we conform to it. So we cannot walk in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scorner. Church, our vision is relevant. It is directly related to our success. So stop looking for other answers. Trust God, quit foolishness, and get focused. Church, our vision is adequate. It is enough. It is enough to address every area of our life. What is the problem that you are facing? What are the problems that you are facing? The vision can address it. So we must take hold of the vision and be confident. Church, we can be confident in our vision because it's from God. Take hold of the vision and be courageous. We can courageously hold to God's instructions because we know that our vision produces good. Take hold of the vision and be committed. We can be committed. We can obey God to the very end because we know that our vision will not fail. Our vision, God's instructions, will bring life. Church, build on the vision. Commit to the work. Love God. Hate sin and love to give so that God can establish, elevate, and strengthen your life so that God can strengthen, revive, and refresh our church. Amen.